Good morning. Just after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday at this time, live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. Also in studio, as always, is producer and Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room correspondent, directly in front of me on your radio dial, Chris Magnum Chapman. Also in studio, right here on Fox. I guess it's coming off a long Saturday night, right, man? Heatwave Sports. Man, he did it all yesterday. Las Vegas Lights game. Well, he is Jose Sudden Death. What's on tap? Heatwave fill-in Volante. We got another nickname for him, Mags, this week. It took some time, but we got it down.
Oh, really? Yeah. So that's like 17 nicknames you got.
Yeah, just keep adding them up.
He's getting up. I'm going to learn to say them in Spanish soon.
Uh-oh. I doubt that. I have serious doubts about that.
Hey, you know what?
I think you'll learn Thai before you learn Spanish.
I might. It's called Rosetta Stone, man. Oh, it's easy.
That's expensive, by the way.
It is expensive.
I've looked at buying it because I'd like, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll learn some Japanese, go kick it to some cute Japanese girls.
You're going to retire in the Far East anyway, so
absolutely.
You might as well.
I'm not even retiring. I'm out, man.
No, I'm going to
especially if a certain guy wins again in 2020. That just expedites the process.
That'll be the end of it. Listen, we are also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can catch the show on Facebook Live. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. We always want to hear from you. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Great chance shot.
Coming home for a game six there on Sunday night, Doc.
And a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they'll have a sterling silver piece, about 36 and a half pounds, joining them.
Siakam throws it up and in. The Raptors putting on finishing touches on the biggest win in franchise history.
A lot of the fans chanting. Again, they are well aware this could be the last game at Oracle, wanting to thank their Warriors.
This is Sudden Death Jose Volante, and it's time for What's on Tap. What's on Tap is sponsored by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On Tap, as you just heard, it's time for the Crown of the Champions. The first could happen later on today in St. Louis, and the Toronto Raptors only need one more win out of the next three games to get their first ever NBA championship. I'm excited about that. I know the Warriors fans are not. But no matter what, both leagues will have crowned their 2019 champions before next Sunday's show. And we got it covered in Nightcap and Fact This. Plus, we have some guests coming in the studio today. Molly O'Brien, the wife of former NBA center Patrick O'Brien, is here to talk about a potential life-changing blood drive that involves their four-year-old daughter, Layla, and Las Vegas Aviators general manager, Chuck Johnson, is going to stop by and fill us in on what's going on at the new Las Vegas ballpark, and we'll be giving away some tickets as well to an upcoming Aviators game, so please give us a call. What's on Tap comes your way thanks to Cardinal Financial, the first and only choice. When looking for answers about home financing, check out cardinalfinancial.com.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Well, guys, if I would have said back in April that the St. Louis Blues were going to win the Stanley Cup, wait a minute. I did say back in April that the St. Louis Blues were going to win the Stanley Cup. Last week, and Chris, I agree with you, man. The Boston Bruins are a more talented hockey team. They are definitely more geared to the playoffs, considering that they've got a lot of players with playoff experience, as well as their main cogs have experience winning a Stanley Cup. But the bottom line is the St. Louis Blues say the hell with all that. They're just outplaying them. And Jordan Binnington, I mean, my God in heaven, the guy's a rookie, and he's playing like a guy that's been playing in this league for 10 to 12 years. The St. Louis Blues look great. And the final thing before I let you talk, how about David Perron getting what turned out to be the game-winning goal against Boston the other night? How cool was that?
Well, obviously, I'm very happy for David Perron. He's a guy that I liked a lot when he was here. Always really good with the media. And just a guy that you kind of like to be around because he was just that kind of guy. But I'll tell you what, man, St. Louis, they continue to find ways to win. They win ugly when they have to. They win with good goaltending when Binnington needs to. I mean, look, I picked Boston after they came here. I think that was in the beginning of March. I said, that's the best team I've seen all year come into T-Mobile. They were the last team that we got to see for the first time at T-Mobile. And I said, you know what? These guys are really good. They're going to win the cup. Well, I mean, I could be wrong about that, but
you still could be right.
I mean, I still think, look, this series has been so close and so tightly contested outside of Game 3, which was a complete blowout. I mean, there's no reason Boston can't go into St. Louis and win again. You know, and if
St. Louis is not the best playoff team at home this year, which is incredible.
No, and that's the thing.
What are they, 500 now at home?
If Boston goes into St. Louis and wins tonight, do you feel confident with St. Louis coming back and winning Game 7 in Boston?
I don't feel unconfident. I think it could happen.
It could happen, but I think the likelihood of it completely changes.
Oh, without question.
I mean, when it's almost like, you know, I guess maybe it's not a good comparison, but it's a lot like the Golden Knights, right? They were up 3-1. You were like, all right, game five in San Jose. You figure San Jose is going to come out and win that one. Golden Knights are going to come home. They're going to take care of business at home. What happens? They lose. Martin Jones plays out of his mind, has 60 saves in that game. Golden Knights miss a couple of opportunities with open nets. They go back to San Jose. I don't think anyone outside of the players on the Golden Knights were confident that they were going to go into San Jose and win game seven. Because talking to a lot of guys in the media, myself included, we're like, you know what? I don't think they're going to go on the road and win.
Chris, I am.
They had the game won.
I did say that they were going to win game seven, but I was wrong. I mean, I did
well,
say
the they reality were, is they, remember they, I said they should
were
have
gonna,
won.
Remember, I said they were going to lose game six at home.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
And I'm like, but I hope I'm wrong with that one, but then I said I still feel confident they'll go to
but
St.
Winning a game seven on the road in any sport.
Oh, it's real tough.
It doesn't matter if it's round one, round three, or the finals. Winning game seven on the road, I think maybe outside of baseball. I don't know what the statistics are, but you look back throughout history, especially in the NBA, teams do not lose game sevens at home, especially in the NBA. NHL, I think it's a little more, it's a little different because there's a lot more factors than the NBA than
well,
just
NBA
the crowd.
Well, NBA is the one sport but, where the crowd, you can really hear the crowd. They're right on top of you. They're on the court, and they really play a factor. When they say a sixth man in the NBA, the fans truly are that sixth
man.
You know,
college
no
football, another sport where home field advantage is huge. College
gigantic.
Basketball, you know. But I don't quite think it's there as much in the NHL. I mean, teams win game sevens on the road a lot in the NHL. So I do think that even if Boston wins tonight, there's no guarantee they're going to win Game 7. I mean, the way this series has gone, although I'm going to be honest, I think St. Louis wins tonight.
I think they win the Stanley Cup tonight as well. You know, what I was one of the things about Boston, which is so impressive, and, you know, for people in the West Coast that are just really getting acclimated with hockey, one of the really cool things is showing how tough these guys are. And tell me, Zdeno Chara, man, how tough is he to be a guy that's now in his 40s? He's a monster on ice. He's 6'7" with his skates on or off. So with his skates on, he's like 7'2". But the point is this guy took a puck, if you didn't see it, a deflection into his jaw, broke his jaw.
Yeah.
And returns, and he's playing in the next game. I mean, I don't know of any other sport where guys break their jaw. And, I mean, every hit, every probably shuffle with your feet, you feel it. And they were purposely hitting him because the bottom line is what you do, and especially in postseason in professional sports, is you exploit weaknesses.
Yes.
And the guy's got a broken jaw. I'm sorry, man. I'm on the other team. Hey, Zdeno, you're a good dude, but I'm going to knock the crap out of you and try to mess up that jaw some more because the bottom line is I want a ring. I want to win a championship.
championship.
Yeah.
And he stood in there tough. I think he had two or three shots on goal still, regardless of the fact that this guy was wearing a cage where, you know, the cage inhibits you is when you look down, because you got that bar covering you and these guys are used to looking down and he's wearing this full mask. It does affect your play.
Yeah. And I still contend that the reason Pavelski was busted open, I think the screws from the mask.
For sure, in his helmet.
And we'll never know, but that's my opinion on it, that the screws are what caused him to bleed. I think when he fell on the ice, it hit him in the head. The screws went into his head. But, you know, I'm never a fan of comparing how tough certain guys are in certain sports to the NBA or to the other sports, because I think in every sport you have guys who, I think that's a mental thing. But in hockey, these guys seem to really step it up when we get to the
NHL
playoffs.
There's no sport where you see guys get stitched up and are playing 10 minutes later, man.
Vince Dunn from the Blues, he took a puck to the face.
Yeah.
You know, and he's having a hard time as well. I mean, guys take pucks to the face. That's got to hurt. I mean, outside of maybe being punched by someone like Mike Tyson, I can't think of anything more painful in sports, right?
I've done it. I mean, I've been playing hockey since I was
young. You wore a mask.
I did wear a mask, but not in the lake. You know, where
you play with your friends. And
there's no lifting, because you don't even wear shin pads. So when you lift, and that puck, let me tell you something, it hurts. But when you're on the lake, you're still deflecting, because what will happen is a puck will deflect up, and I've had one flutter up and catch me in the face.
Yeah.
And mine was, it was like a soft, right below my eye. It didn't cut me open, but I had a black eye for a week, and it barely hit me. So you can imagine when these things really, Charles' deflection was wicked. I mean, right into his jaw, and it was like, oh, my God, man.
I think the only thing I could compare to was when I worked in minor league baseball. One day we went in the cage, and for those who don't know, and I don't know if it's like this in every facility, but our cage in Idaho Falls was basically, it was a slab of concrete with AstroTurf over it, a home plate, and then the cage for a guy to throw BP or the machine. I hit a foul ball that deflected off the plate or the concrete and came right back up and hit me in the eye. I thought I went blind. I mean, I was down for a good 10-15 minutes. It hurt so bad. But I mean, I was lucky, because you know, you get into broken orbital bones and things like that, and those are painful recoveries. But I still can't, even a broken jaw with a puck traveling.
Oh, I can't.
And the way that puck hit him, it came up. And although I'll be honest, there's an injury I saw the other day. I don't know if you're familiar. Mitch Haniger plays for the Seattle Mariners. I won't say it on air, but anyone listening, just Google what he's on the injured list for. And
I already know where it had to hit him. I mean, come on. I mean that goes by. Right now, I'm crouching down. I mean, I already got you.
When you hear the word ruptured.
Oof.
That injury,
I'm hurt.
Yeah, I think all of us are a little hurt by that.
Yeah, I had a friend. I had a friend in high school. He was a pole vaulter, and I played baseball. So we're up on the baseball diamond at practice, and they had a track meet going on the track. And there's all these ambulances that come in. And it was my buddy who was a pole vaulter. And what happened when he's going over the pole, his hand slipped off the top pole, and the recoil caught him and caught him right in the back end of his baby maker.
Oh.
And he was on the ground. He said he was seeing stars. He doesn't remember too much. But and I'm like, man, if there's ever a time to lose your memory, it would be right there. Let me tell you. I mean, my God.
It hurts just hearing you say the story.
Just thinking about it. It's awful tough. And, you know, talk about tough. I mean, Jose, on the streets growing up, you played on pavement, didn't you? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it was pretty tough.
It was tough, man. Well,
I remember, you know, when for football, we would, because I didn't grow up in the city. I grew up in the burbs down on the beach. And for scrimmages, sometimes our coach would schedule scrimmages against these inner city teams. And one year we played a school called Emerson, which is in Union City, New Jersey. I don't even know if Emerson's still around, but Union City is basically it's the city. These guys brought out the rubber football. I mean, that's what they didn't have a leather football. They were using rubber football. So it's it was playing in the street for those guys. And I'm like, man, it's easier to throw. Easier to catch, and it was just a scrimmage, so I'm sure, you know, when they play the real game, it probably was a little bit different, but Yeah, Emerson High School in Union City, New Jersey. They were using the rubber football.
The rubber football.
You know, the Baden, B-A-I, the ones you would use on the playground when you were a kid.
I know the ones you're talking about. They bounce like a Super Bowl in all kinds of different directions. And
their punter probably averaged about 60 yards a punt.
Oh, yeah, you can boom those things.
So you want to talk about tough. I grew up where we played sideline pop, if you guys ever heard that. We played on the street, and if you were on the sideline, meaning the sidewalk part of it, you can get hit and knocked into the ground. If not, it's just tag football. Imagine running down the sideline, looking to your left, and a guy comes out of nowhere and hits you, and you run right into a stop sign. Think about that. That's the type of football I grew up playing.
I like it. I like it.
Nah, hey, not for me.
I like it. Hey, this is Out of Line. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio. Still got a lot coming up on the other side of the break. We're going to have Molly O'Brien. We're going to be talking about a blood drive that's coming up on June 22nd. I definitely want you to get your pen and paper out for this one. I'm going to make all of us here in studio get poked, and it's always for a good cause.
No,
man,
I don't do the needle thing.
You can't. No. I'm not a fan either. You know, the funny thing is, I was a phlebotomist when I was going to Michigan State in the summers. My dad's a doctor, of course, and I was working every summer. I would work in the hospital as a phlebotomist and draw blood, and I hated needles, and I'm walking around with a Vacutainer and a tray full of them. But I'm going to go out there. What the heck, man? God almighty. Yep, I'm doing it. So's Jose. He doesn't know it yet, but Jose's going to drive me out there.
Yikes.
I got tattoos recently, so I'm...
You're good?
Yeah, me too. I'm afraid of needles.
We'll talk about this another time, but Jake got a tattoo in Thailand, and he got one of the... You're probably familiar, Chris, the poking.
I'm going to do that, when I go to Thailand in the summer,
He said it was the most excruciating, annoying thing that he's ever done in his entire life.
He got it on the back?
No, he got it right on his front chest. I'll show you a picture of it.
Oh, that's
got
to be painful.
But listen, we are going to come back on the other side. Also, I think stopping by is Chuck Johnson, the general manager of the Las Vegas Aviators. He was going to try to pop in on his way up to the Las Vegas ballpark tonight. We also going to talk about the NBA playoffs. Wow is all I can say about that. I think all of us are a little bit surprised. If you put some money on Toronto at the beginning of the postseason.
And give me credit, because when we talked about it, I said, look, the Raptors could very well, their defense, they've got Kawhi Leonard. They banged up Warriors team.
We're going to talk about it. Kawhi Leonard's definitely part of the subject that we are going to talk about when we come back. Again, this is Fox Sports Radio, Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9. I'm Brian Feldman. He's Chris Chapman. Jose Valente in studio with all of his nicknames. We'll be right back.
This is why I'm hot. 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 This is why I'm hot.
It is Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a long three-pointer away from Centennial Hills Hospital. Check it out. They've got two happy hours every single day, and we know it's Buffalo Wild Wings, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And come football season, we are up there every Monday night for the best Monday night football party in town, giving away replica jerseys, all kinds of wing parties, all kinds of stuff. So make sure when football season comes around this year, you join us. And, hey, the year after this, it'll be for Raiders football as the Raiders embark on Las Vegas in 2020. That will be interesting. Well, Blazin', I got to start it off, and we had some audio. We're not going to play it for you right now, but there's a guy, and I don't know how familiar you guys are and how much you're watching college baseball, but there, I was watching LSU play Florida State yesterday. First of all, Mike Martin is the most legendary coach, college baseball coach in history. 40 seasons. I don't know if you guys, he was named head coach, interim head coach initially in 1980 for the Florida State Seminoles. He has had 40 straight seasons with 40 plus wins. I mean, that is just unbelievable in any sport to do what Mike Martin has done there. And yesterday, the win they picked up against LSU, the number 13th ranked team in the country in the Super Regional, gave him his 40th win again. This LSU team is pretty good, and a team that they said could contend for a national title. They've got at least four major league solid prospects on their team. And yet Florida State, who was one of the final four teams to get into the college playoffs this year, ends up winning the regional and getting to the Super Regional. And they win yesterday. Now today, if they win again, they go to the College World Series in Omaha, which would be unfathomable considering the way the team ended the season with some terrible losses to Vanderbilt. But check this out. This is what's crazy. There's a guy on this team and who is pretty incredible. The kid last year was a walk-on, okay? As a senior at LSU, he hold on a second. Where's my sheet? Because we don't have the sound, so I don't have the statement on him. It's Tim Becker. Tim Becker last year graduates. He's playing for their club team. Now, if you're not familiar, a lot of baseball schools that have D1 teams, they have a club team. And a club is kind of like minor league college baseball. And they literally play, they play other colleges. And last year, Florida State did win the national title for club baseball. This kid graduates. He finds out he's got to take like two more classes, and he decides to just try out for the baseball team. He's got 1 year of eligibility. The coach is familiar with what he did on club team. He needs one more outfielder, and he barely gets on the roster. Doesn't play it hardly at all this year. Last week in the regionals, he gets inserted in the game because I guess he was practicing really hard, working super hard. They said, let's give him a shot. He hits three home runs in two games, becomes the star of the team, and this year in the super regional yesterday against LSU in the eighth inning with a 4-4 tie, the kid hits a sack fly and wins the game for him. I mean, you want to talk about just a dream season and a dream life. Pretty cool, but I've got to mention two other things with this. Reese Albert, don't want to leave him out. Two home runs yesterday, his first multi-home run game. He hit a three-run homer and a solo shot. So out of the five runs they got, four were attributed to Reese Albert. So I guess he's pretty blazing too. But Jose, I did leave somebody out. There is a pitcher in college baseball that did something. He is in very rarefied air.
So like you were saying, if you guys have been following this college baseball World Series, it's been nuts. Vanderbilt's pitcher, Kumar Rocker, came out last night and pitched a gem. Vanderbilt needed the win to stay alive against Duke. Not only that, they are the regional host in this part of this tournament. He came out and pitched a complete game, no hitter, 19 strikeouts in the game. Literally the greatest college baseball game ever pitched. If you go back to the major leagues, the only pitchers to ever have something close to that, Scherzer with 17 strikeouts and a complete game, no hitter. No other major league pitcher has even gone close to 19 strikeouts. So what this kid did is amazing and just completely blazing.
Well, you guys are both wrong, by the way. Because the blazing for the week has got to be the guy we're watching on TV in the studio, Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, no doubt.
He is one set away from winning his 12th French Open title. The next closest, we'll throw the amateur guy out who won eight back between 1903 and 1914. But the next closest is Bjorn Borg, who won six. Rafael Nadal has never lost in the finals or semifinals
at the French Open.
12 French Open titles, 12 of the last 15, never seen it. I've been watching tennis pretty much my whole life. I've never seen anybody dominate a sport the way this guy does on clay. It's unreal.
I was just about to say.
Nadal, look, we don't talk tennis very much, but the guy deserves all the praise. I mean, he is. I mean, you talk about guys dominating their sport, and this is the guy. I mean, he dominates on clay.
I was just going to say, he is the greatest clay court player in the history of tennis. There's no question about it. Bjorn Borg was considered the greatest clay court player in history. There is no question it's Nadal. I hate saying the guy's blazing, though. I mean, look at him. It pisses you off how good looking the dude is.
Well, seriously, yeah, they just showed his girlfriend, I think.
Yeah,
and,
it's almost not fair. He's too pretty to be a dude.
Well, that's not
seriously.
His girlfriend.
No, that's not her.
I hope
that's not his girlfriend. But seriously, no, he is blazing also. But something else blazing and really supersedes all this stuff is, you know, when you give back and when you're able to help out. Others that are unfortunate. And, you know, reading about the story about Layla O'Brien, and I wasn't overly familiar with about it. Shelby Vert got me familiar with this. And the minute she called, you know, she had called me, left me a voicemail message the other day and mentioned potentially doing this on the show. And, man, this is the kind of stuff that I do this for. I mean, in all seriousness, when I get the opportunity. But I was sitting next to me to your right on my radio dial. I should say to my right on your radio dial. Let me get that correct. Is Molly O'Brien. She is the wife of Patrick O'Brien. Patrick, if you're unfamiliar, was the first-round draft pick of the Golden State Warriors not so long ago, and ironically played also for the Toronto Raptors. So how wild is this? By the way, what uniform is he wearing right now?
Oh, it's hard. We have friends on both teams, but I definitely would like to see Toronto win, and I think he's on board with it, too.
That was the last team that he played for.
Yeah, like the fans, like Warrior fans, I don't think there's many that compare. Like, it's insane when you're in Dub Nation. It's crazy. But there's something about bringing a championship to a city that's never had it. and the team that Toronto has.
A country that's
a
never
country,
had
it. Yeah, a different country.
It's crazy.
That just living up there, I mean, we really just kind of want it for them just because the people are so kind and they back the team so much. It would just be really cool, honestly.
Well, I was going to say, Molly, you know, I was talking about it last week that I've had an opportunity, being from Detroit, I've had an opportunity. It's only about a four-hour drive mm-hmm. to Toronto, and I've actually taken the train there and everything from Windsor. But Toronto, Ontario is, to me, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. Mm-hmm. It is amazing how well you can eat off the streets there. Is it Yonge Street?
Yes.
One of the coolest places.
It
rivals like Rush Street in Chicago. It is just an incredible town. The Fantasia Theater, one of those most amazing places to view. I saw Lion King at mm-hmm. the Fantasia Theater wow. years ago. One of the most beautiful places around. Casa Loma. I can go on and on. I love Toronto.
You like the city.
Yeah, I do. I love the city. So it is really cool to see this, and I agree with you. But what's cool is what you're doing right now for a rare disease that your daughter contracted. Mm-hmm. And what's really strange is the way that she contracted it, because it would seem like a non-abrasive cold, basically.
Yeah, she just got a cold from ballet class. One of her classmates had it, and we didn't think anything of it. She really didn't have any cold-like symptoms. She's a very healthy child. It was actually one of two times that she'd ever been sick in her 2 years of life at that point. Cerebellar ataxia is actually the disease name, and it's not rare in itself. A lot of kids get this. It's misdiagnosed by a lot of pediatricians because one of the symptoms is you lose your coordination because it attacks your cerebellum, which is where your balance comes from. And so she was falling, you know, 50, 60 times a day.
What would be a misdiagnosis, like ALS?
They think that the kids are like developing their coordination at that time point. So a lot of times between 1 and 3, it's misdiagnosed and it clears up in 2 to 3 weeks. Usually your body fights it off and it heals on its own. Now, where Layla's goes rare is that she didn't recover fully from it. So the team at Mayo is really just baffled at it. They've not seen it. They're unsure. There's no treatment, no cure for cerebellar ataxia specifically. So they were just kind of at a loss. And through the Mayo team, her pediatrician up there, I'm sorry, her pediatric neurologist up there was really upset that he couldn't help her because she's so determined, such a fighter. She's such a happy little girl. And here was this thing that they had seen before, but not to this capacity where at 9-10 months, she still hadn't recovered. So he suggested doing IVIG, which is intravenous immunoglobulin treatment. It's used a lot for neurological issues, but never really for cerebellar ataxia specifically. So it's kind of like a shot in the dark, really. And he suggested trying this treatment, and it totally worked.
Really?
Yes. 3 weeks later, she stopped falling down. Her tremors had subsided. She really was her happy self again. She could feed herself. She could talk again. Cerebellar ataxia really took Layla's life away from her. She had no control over her body. You know the car balloon guys, the really tall, windy ones? That's what her movements looked like. It was so scary. For 10 months, we were told to wait. Wait 2 weeks. Lord. Wait 2 months. Wait 6 months. And then finally at 9 months, we were like, you know what? We really need to go see the Mayo team, and they wanted her up there and do the evaluation. So,
wow, that just incredible. I mean, I can imagine you guys as parents going through this and not completely, you know, like, what do we do? And the blood donation, or what they're able to do with this type of transfusion, is what it does is it tricks the disease, correct? Mm-hmm. More or less. It's not a cure, mm-hmm. but it is more or less it tricks the disease into thinking that the disease isn't there, basically. So it helps the body to somewhat recover and not regress anymore, correct?
Yeah, you're pretty much on point. What it actually does is she goes in for 8 hours and she gets an IV and she's jam-packed with other people's antibodies. And the donor antibodies are obtained through the blood donation. So that's why blood donation is so important right now. We're at a nationwide shortage with blood donation. therefore we're at a nationwide shortage of my daughter's treatment that she needs every 3 to 4 weeks. So she gets poked every 3 to 4 weeks. So anybody that's scared of needles, you know, she's four now and she does it every 3 to 4 weeks. So
you hear that, Magnum?
It's not that bad. But what it actually does is it jam-packs her little body full of other donor antibodies, and it tricks her her body from thinking that, you know, there's just one particle over by her brain. And so it leaves her brain alone, allows her brain to heal, goes and eats the rest of the antibodies until they're all gone at like 3 or 4 weeks, and she needs another treatment. So we definitely see a regression if we're not on time with her treatments. Look like, you know, her losing her balance again, or, you know, a big one is just her attitude. She's not really able to focus. She gets frustrated. She doesn't understand what's happening to her because she's so young. I mean, we didn't even understand. The doctors didn't understand. How do you explain it to, you know, when she was two at the time, how do you explain it to a two-year-old why she has to get poked all the time? And, you know, that, you know, this ouchie is going to make her feel better, but, you know, all she can focus on is that ouchie at the time. It was really hard and frustrating. And, you know, there's no worse feeling than knowing that, you know, the medical field can't fix your daughter. Oh, so we really feel for a lot of these people out there that, you know, don't have these shot in the dark treatments that work. And so that's why we're bringing such awareness to IVIG and telling people, you know, get out and donate blood. Donating blood doesn't just help people that need blood. It helps people that need platelets and plasma and IVIG treatments. It helps so many people. And, you know, if you are able to give blood, there's so few people that actually can through the process. You're helping hundreds and hundreds of people with your donation. So it's just a great thing to do if you really are able to get out there and do it.
It is Layla's Heroes Blood Drive. It's taking place on, it is a Saturday. It's a Saturday, June 22nd. It's going to be between 11 and 4 o'clock, and it is going to be at A Touch of Lash. That is at 8390 South Rainbow Boulevard, Suite 108, and that's here in Las Vegas. They're going to have music. They're going to have food. They're going to have a recovery area, discounted spray tans they're going to be offering at Touch of Lash. And again, all donors will receive a voucher to be used towards a future service at A Touch of Lash as well. To sign up, or if you have any questions, you can call 702-576-6855, and you can also check, if you want more information, you can also email them. It's at atouchoflash@gmail.com. What a great opportunity this is. Again, it's Saturday the 22nd. Me and Jose are going to be out there. We're going to see if we can find some chloroform, and that way we'll have Magnum with us as well. we really appreciate you coming in. Again, Molly O'Brien, the wife of former NBA player, your husband's
Patrick
name.
Patrick O'Brien.
I was going to say Peter, but it's Patrick O'Brien. Yeah. But Patrick, again, paid for both the Warriors and the Toronto Raptors and daughter Layla. And we're going to do everything we can. And we'll definitely talk about this for next week's show as well. So
thank you appreciate so much. You being we here. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Again, that's Molly O'Brien, Chris Magnum Chapman, Jose Vellante. Chuck Johnson just walked in studio. And right after we get back from break, we will have Chuck on the show with us. We've got our Las Vegas Aviators report. And we still have Fact This, where we will talk about those Toronto Raptors right here on Fox Sports Radio when we come back. Welcome back. Out of line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. It is time for the Las Vegas Aviators Report, brought to you by the Las Vegas Aviators, AAA franchise of the Oakland A's, playing out at the brand new Las Vegas Ballpark out in downtown Summerlin. If you haven't been out there yet, man, let me tell you something, you are missing out. It is time to get out there. There are tickets available, and as a matter of fact, courtesy of Jim Gemma, we have some to give away, and we will do that after the show. Give us a call, 702-876-1340, and I will hook you up. I'm going to do two of them today, two packs. So four tickets given away today to a Las Vegas Aviators game. Chuck Johnson, the general manager, also VP sales and marketing. You've been around this franchise and around baseball in Las Vegas pretty much since its inception. First of all, welcome to Out of Line, man. Great to have you in studio.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
So, man, how exciting is this season? I mean, you've been through a lot of seasons, a lot of changes, the Stars, the 51s. You've been around hockey in Las Vegas. But this year, a $150 million ballpark was constructed up in downtown Summerlin. I got to tell you, Chuck, it is one of the coolest places I've seen. I've been to 20 minor league ballparks in my life. None of them come close to the Las Vegas ballpark.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We've been pretty fortunate. We've seen quite a few teams come through here now. We've had other executives roll through with those teams, and we've got nothing but compliments. I mean, from the player amenities downstairs to the playing field, to the location of the visiting team hotel. I mean, absolutely everything's worked out. And that's absolutely on the player and operation side. And then the fans have been fantastic. They've really enjoyed the comfort of the mesh seats, the food variety, the huge scoreboard, the little changes we've made in game entertainment. But I guess it's the ambiance. And I keep telling people, it's not that we changed a lot in terms of how we run a game, but it's the electricity. You have 1,500 people in the ballpark on a Tuesday night. Now we have 6,000 people in the ballpark on a Tuesday night. And the electricity in there is amazing. And so when that rolls into a sold-out Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night, then, you know, that just really enhances everything that's going on over there. And it's been an absolute blast. We are so fortunate to be able to have this ballpark as our office.
Oh, it's so cool. And even talking to some of the players, like talking to Campbell, for instance. I mean, a guy that got to play, you know, a few seasons down at Cashman now here, and he's like, man, it's like night and day. I'm one of the people, I did love going to ball games in Cashman. I love the skyline down there. I thought it was really cool, but wow is all I can say again. I suggest, too, when you get out to the Las Vegas ballpark, definitely take a full lap around the ballpark. Go check out the pool in center field. I mean, it is so cool. It reminds me of the outlay a little bit, like a miniature version of Coors Field is kind of what the ballpark reminds me of a little bit, the way it's structured and with the hitting alleys and the lanes. But just amazing. I know, Donnie Logan, this has been something, a dream for a long time, and the Howard Hughes Corporation to finally embrace it and really make all of this happen. The future of the Aviators of Las Vegas Bay Baseball in downtown Summerlin. What do you guys, how do you give us an encore from what you've just done?
I think that's always the challenge when something new comes to town like this, and what we do. And for us, it's, you know, we are at the end of this homestand on Monday. We will be halfway through our season. We still play the rest of June, July, and August. Our last home game is Labor Day. So we still have plenty of games to go through. And then typically what we will do, we'll sit down after the season and we will go through everything. And there's no reason that just because we have been so successful this year, we won't do the same thing. And we will learn and look at what things, what shortfalls were around, where we can still improve. And it is always going to be our job to make sure that each and every year as we go on, that we maintain the level that we've put into it in the first year, fix the mistakes that have been out there, because I know there have been, and just to give the fans what they need and to keep that level of where it's at, the excitement, the promotions, the marketing, and the food, and if we can make it better, great. But that's always going to be the test. Unfortunately, on the player side, that's not up to us. So our relationship with the Oakland A's is fantastic. We've had friends there for many, many, many years. And that's due to Don's longevity in the game. He's brought me more and more into that over my 20 years working with him. So we've been fortunate to have those relationships throughout baseball. The thing we get to look forward to in 2020, which we missed in 19, is Big League Exhibition. So we will have our big league weekends back in 2020. We're looking to expand upon that. So maybe not just two games, maybe go to four, maybe go to six. So that's one of the fun things we get to look at in 2020. We'll still be an A's affiliate in 2020. So you'll see similar players from this year to next year. That's where it's headed. And that's just on the baseball side. If we start looking at Las Vegas Ballpark for something for what it is, it's also going to be an entertainment venue. So now we're starting to plan out what else is going to happen inside that ballpark during the rest of the 2019 season, and how can we grow that in 2020. So we're trying to, we're trying to find concerts. We're trying to find community events. We might do movie nights out there and take advantage of our scoreboard and the location and the summer weather. So there'll be those little things that'll be rolling along for the next.
Infinite possibilities. Exactly. I mean, there really is when you look at the place. So many. Is it what you guys expected? I mean, it's still mind-blowing. I told Jim several times, Jim Gemma, every time I drove by the place, I'm like, oh my God, it's just going up so quick. I know that we have architectural genius in Las Vegas, and we see structures like this, you know, things happen all the time, but it never ceases to amaze me. And this ballpark went up so quick, and yet from the layman just looking at it, it looks like everything's perfect. I'm sure there's some quirks, but for you guys, was it everything you expected when it opened up? Was this like, wow, this is exactly what we thought it would be?
Yeah, we were pretty fortunate. Again, I always took it upon myself to take advantage of the role I have with the team. And I've got a fantastic wife and family structure. We don't have any kids, so it kind of frees me up to do some things that not normally most people get to do. So knowing that we were always headed for this new ballpark, I constantly went out every year to two or three new stadiums in our league, outside of our league. We have multiple meetings every year excuse me, with the rest of our league. So you walk around our ballpark and you can see elements and ideas that, you know, we've taken from some of the best new ballparks in the country. You know, we have a swimming pool. We could not do a swimming pool in Las Vegas. We have that 360 concourse that goes all the way around. We have the great hangar bar in center field. We have a great club level. We moved the press box to the fourth floor to get it away from the fan base. All these things were elements that we decided to take from other places, or we saw shortfalls in other places and wanted to fix it. So, I mean, that's where the ballpark, you know, that's where the ballpark came about and why it is such a great place to hang out and walk around and to watch a game at and to be a part of.
And you guys still have all the great promotions, giving away jerseys, giving away gloves, and of course, $2 beer night. They upped it from one to two, but it's still a great promotion. You got the family days on Sundays, which is today, right? And that you've got a game going on at 12:05 today. It's Sunday family day, and that is against San Antonio. And you got another opportunity to see them tomorrow night at 7. Then they will be on the road until a week from Thursday when they come back home to play Sacramento. And they come home on a Thursday night, so it'll be $2 beer night when they come back to town, but all kinds of great promotions. Like I've said, the firework displays that you guys put on rival Disneyland. I mean, it's here, and I'm not saying that facetiously. It's dead serious. You go out and watch them. It is a great opportunity to see fireworks on just a regular Friday night in Las Vegas. But the one thing that I will ask, and I get asked this all the time, you know, being doing what I do, the professional sports. You've got the National Hockey League here now. We've seen the success that they've had. The Raiders are coming to 2020. The rumor is, obviously, we hear that Adam Silver is a much bigger fan than David Stern was of Las Vegas and the NBA. So there's an assumption that there'll be an NBA franchise probably next. What about Major League Baseball? Now you've got this brand new ballpark here. Is there still a need to bring Major League Baseball, or do you think that's still a decade plus away?
My guess is that it's still a decade plus away. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that have to happen. The Pacific Coast League and the Las Vegas Aviators, we own the baseball rights to the city. So, I mean, that's just the start of it. So a team that wants to come in has to work with us, and there's a whole bunch of financial rules around that and everything that goes on. I think what we have now is that the city has just really launched itself into this major league status with the hockey and the Raiders coming to town. We've always had the top-notch events, championships, and anything else that comes through the city. Now we have the need to really look at what else is going to come in. We have a couple venues that NBA could come in easily. The WNBA with the Aces are playing their games on MGM properties. So that is something that's already there. For Major League Baseball to come in and take care of what they have to do on our side, and then look at acquiring land and then acquiring the ability to build a stadium, because at that level, you are not going to get away with an open-air stadium like we have.
No way.
It is going to have to be a dome stadium.
More than likely.
Yeah, and that's going to add $150, mm-hmm. $200 million to the construction cost. So where is that money coming from? Those things are enormous, and most of the time it's not always a given, but most of the time they're going to want some public funding behind it. Well, the state of Nevada gave a lot of money to build the Raider Stadium, and in my opinion, that was probably the right thing to do. The Las Vegas is such a dynamic and different city that we probably and did need a 65,000 seat venue to take advantage of the 300,000 plus people we have coming through here on a weekend, the 180,000 rooms that we have. We can sustain that, and it was probably a good thing that the state went ahead and helped that situation out, because it's gonna expand any kind of championship effort we have. If it's Super Bowl, if it's getting into the bowl series, if it's everything. You know, I was so proud and happy for my friend John Cicinni. We've been buddies for very, very long time, and I knew what was coming because we talk and we travel together, and it was awesome to finally let that cat out of the bag. We're, you know, now we're affiliated with Pac-12, SEC, and the Big Ten. That is going to be amazing for the Las Vegas Bowl.
It's really exciting looking at the future of Las Vegas. And I was going to say, I'm already lobbing. It's like, look, they're making Oakland. Las Vegas is the new Oakland, right? So why not just eventually the A's just come here and, you know, and we'll take them all away. And then Oakland will implode Las Vegas. That'll be the end of it, man. The fans up there, I mean, oh, my God, I'm already scared of the black hole at the new stadium. What's going to happen if the Oakland A's? I'm just kidding. That's not even a rumor. But, Chuck, I do appreciate you joining the show, man. Wanted to get you in here in the studio. We'll get you on Facebook Live. And looking so forward to many more games up at the Las Vegas ballpark. I've enjoyed myself so much up there. You know, at Cashman, you know, I'd go down to the field, but I'd spend the majority of that time up in the press box. At this stadium, I've only been in the press box twice, and I've been to I don't know how many games now. I really enjoy sitting. I even love out in left field where you can sit out there. You got your own little table and your own little service and stuff, so it's worth it. And the pool, I mean, anybody can go, right?
Well, it's a group. We sell it as a group entity.
Okay.
So companies come out, buy it, and they reserve it for the night. It's sold out for the rest of the season. We already have a waiting list for 2020.
For next year, look at that. Yeah. Well, I got to sneak in there somehow. I'm going to have to get a wristband. He is Chuck Johnson. He is the general manager of the Las Vegas Aviators, also handles all their sales and marketing. Been in this town for a long, long time. If you haven't heard the name before, you probably just haven't been here. You're new. Now you know. Chuck, again, shake his hand on Facebook Live. Appreciate you coming on and stopping in on your way. You're headed out to the ballpark now for today's game, right?
Yeah, we have a pregame yoga today at 10:30.
Oh, my goodness. So you're participating in that?
Yeah, as long as I can get a mat, because we have guests at our house, and I forgot to grab my wife's yoga mat out of the guest bedroom. So I couldn't grab it this morning, but I got to change the clothes in the car.
All right, you're good to go.
I'm in.
That grass in the outfield, man, is so soft and nice that I would I think I'd do yoga without a mat on it. I'm just saying.
I could.
Okay, well, there you go. We'll be back. We'll have Chuck on again. It is the Las Vegas Aviators Report, sponsored by the Las Vegas Aviators, AAA franchise of the Oakland A's, and, of course, playing at the all-new Las Vegas ballpark in downtown Summerlin. We thank Chuck Johnson, and time for Fact This.
Fact This. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact This.
It's a fact. The Toronto Raptors are one win away from dethroning the Golden State Warriors. This is going to happen tomorrow night at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. And I will now say unequivocally that if I had to start an NBA franchise and got to choose any player in existence right now as my first pick, it would be Kawhi Leonard, period. What do you think, Mags?
I still think I'm going with Kevin Durant. I mean, unfortunately, Kevin Durant, we haven't seen a whole lot of him. Well, I haven't seen any of them in the series, but I still think Kevin Durant's the best player in the league. I think Greek Freak would probably be my number two, although, to be fair, he did get shut down by
Giannis did get shut
by the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think the upside is still much higher for him. But I'm still going KD. Look, seven-footer who could shoot like him, who could play like him. I mean, you got to go there, but Kawhi certainly in the discussion. I mean, what he brings to the table defensively,
that's what I'm talking about.
You just don't get that from any other elite player in the league. I mean, he is as shut down a defender as there is in the league. Remember, that was his bread and butter at San Diego State, right? He wasn't a scorer. He wasn't the elite player.
He was going to the NBA because of his ability to defend anybody that had a basketball, and because he could put the ball in the hole.
And think about this. If you're the Indiana Pacers, how much are you kicking?
It's almost
like when the Charlotte Hornets traded Kobe Bryant for Vlade Divac, right?
And Eldon Campbell.
And another bum. Eldon Campbell, the bum, right? So Indiana drafts Kawhi Leonard. They trade him to San Antonio for George Hill.
I know. It's crazy, man.
But, you know, Kawhi has turned out to be a fantastic player. And you know what's crazy about the Raptors? They're the first team since 1966, ready for this stat, to not have one player drafted in the lottery on their roster and make it to the finals.
That's correct. I did not know that.
Now, the lottery didn't exist, I think, previous to like 1982 or something.
Yeah.
So
the lottery started for Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, they say like top 14 picks are considered the lottery, I guess. So no top 14 draft picks on the Toronto Raptors.
No.
I think Lowry was like 20th or something like that. But I mean, Kawhi was 16 or 17. So yeah, a lot of guys way down the list.
Yeah, I think it was 85. It was the year that, because Ewing, 85 is when Villanova won the championship, and Ewing was a senior at Georgetown, and it was that
the frozen envelope.
Yeah, the frozen envelope of the New York Knicks. I say Kawhi Leonard again, Mags. Yes, because he can play defense, but I think he is the most complete player in the National Basketball Association. 6'7", but with his wingspan and his length, he plays more like 6'9". And the bottom line is, like I said, he can shut down anybody in the NBA. I don't care what size they are. This man can play against him. We saw the Toronto Raptors shut down, as you said, the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. I was amazed at what I saw. And again, every time they need a bucket, it doesn't matter. You know, again, you talk about great defenders. Well, come on, Green is as good a defender as there is in the NBA as well.
Everyone forgets Danny Green was part of that trade as well.
100%. But the bottom line, I'm seeing Kawhi Leonard score no matter who's on him. There is no defending this guy. There is nobody in the league that can cover or defend Kawhi Leonard. And that's why, to me, when he can defend anybody and nobody can defend him,
he's on a whole nother level.
That's the best player in the league. Well, the Men in Black commercials, I keep saying, why are they showing Chris Paul? It should show Kawhi Leonard, man. The guy's got eyes in the back of his head. This is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m. Man, spit that out. I want to thank everyone for joining the show. I definitely want to thank Molly O'Brien and Get Out to That Blood Drive, June 22nd. We'll talk about that more. I want to thank Chuck Johnson, General Manager of the Las Vegas Aviators, producer Chris Magnum Chapman, and of course, Jose, many nickname Volante. We'll be back next week. I'm Brian Feldman. Thank you for joining. We're out. See ya.